Idag blev det bekräftat. Jon Dahl Tomasson blir nu svensk förbundskapten för det svenska herrlandslaget i fotboll. Danskarna har en lång meritlista, framförallt som spelare. Över 100 landskamper för Danmark. Spel i alla tre stora ligor i Europa.
The first feeling was this, wow. That's interesting. Also a bit proud because it's of course a massive job to be national team coach or förbundskapten. To start a new era, something special.
En dryg månad har passerat sedan Jon Dahl Tomasson ledde det svenska landslaget i de två första landskamperna som förbundskapten. Men arbetet har inte stannat av efter det, utan det pågår konstant för att rätta upp ett landslag som missat två raka mästerskap. När Tomasson gästar podden berättar han om stjärnsmällen mot Portugal, om att följa 40 spelare och för första gången avsäger han vilken formation som gäller för Sverige.
I'm not going to make a mystery out of it. We are playing 4-2-3-1, and of course when you attack, it needs to be fluent. You're in different position. Defensively, it can maybe look a little bit more like a formation, but I think in modern football, players are moving in different position. We see them each week in each team, so we should be able to be in different formation, so we in different positions, so we can control the game.
Men det räcker inte att bara vinna matcher för det svenska landslaget. Tomasson berättar även om den uttalade målsättningen att spela en underhållande fotboll och varför det är viktigt.
Football is a product. Football is a product where we need to entertain as well. People are paying money for this and they need to have something back and over time that's why I'm talking about I hate when we are time wasting, killing the game. Of course. Our great football product, we are killing that in the end of the day. So that's why we need to entertain, we need to create enjoyment.
Tomasson talar även om kontakterna med en hel del av spelarna som är aktuella för landslaget. Samt om hur han ser på den kommande trupputtagningen inför landskamperna mot Danmark och Serbien.
I will not change 15 players, but there could easily be some new changes. And this is, of course, because we need to see players. And you can also say, yeah, but it's national team football. You need to build relations, which we need. But we are not in that phase at the moment. We're in the phase to see the amount of players who can play on this level.
Givetvis är podden mer än det här. Tomasson talar om det speciella att möta Danmark och att han inte hade valt det motstånd som Sverige möter under våren. Förbundskaptenen berättar även om dialogen med Alexander Isak och hur han ska använda sig av sin anfallsstjärna framöver. Dessutom pratar Tomasson om den korta kontraktslängden och anledningen till att avtalet löper ut efter VM-kvalet 2026. Men som vanligt inleder vi podden med en faktaruta.
How old are you?
I'm 47.
Where do you live?
I live in England.
Who is part of your family?
I have my wife, Lena, and I have my two boys, Luca and Liam. Then we have a dog, and she's called Mika.
What kind of education do you have?
I have a football education, taken in Denmark and Holland.
How much do you make?
Money-wise? I don't know that.
What do you drive?
I drive a Range Rover.
What do you read?
At the moment, I only watch football games.
What do you watch? So
football games.
What do you listen to?
My son's playlist. Both sons, they're controlling the playlist in our house.
And now I usually ask people, vad spelar du på? Which can be that they play an instrument or they do the PlayStation. Could also be gamble, horses and football. So, what spelar du på?
Nothing of those. I don't play. I don't gamble on football games or horse races. And I don't play an instrument. No.
What would you rank as your biggest triumph in football?
The biggest triumph in football, winning the Champions League, winning the UEFA Cup. One of those two. Playing for national teams.
Which is your favorite team and why?
It's a strange story. I actually don't have a favorite team, and it's a bit crazy. When I was a young boy, I was watching English football, and then a player he did really well. The next week there was another player he did really well. So I would say I'm just in love with the football game instead.
When you were a kid, who was your favorite player?
Yeah, that's exactly a little bit what I said. But if I should choose one, I would probably choose Michael Laudrup.
Well, which has been your best experience related to football?
I will divide it into two things. So as a football player, to be able to win things. So I've been able to win championship of different country, won the Champions League, won the UEFA Cup. As a coach, to be a leader, and be able to give inspiration to staff member, to players, so you can grow as team and you can show directions. They give me joy.
What has been the biggest disappointment you've had in football?
The biggest disappointment in football, probably losing the Champions League final against Liverpool after we were leading 3-0. I scored on my penalty, but we were not able to win the game with Milan.
Which rule would you like to change in football?
The time wasting. I hate time wasting. I think we are killing the football game.
Who is the best coach of all time?
The best coach of all times. That's an extremely difficult one. I think one who had extremely much influence on the football game is Johan Cruyff.
On what occasion do you lie?
I never lie.
Which was your best subject in school, if we remove gymnastics?
Math.
Who are your heroes in real life?
Heroes in real life? I don't have heroes in real life. I have my family, which is extremely important for me. I have a beautiful and a great wife who is great for us as a family. My two healthy children. Yeah. That's my life, and I love it. At the same time, I'm working with something that I really, really love, and that's the football game.
If you have to change your job, what would you do?
I was a football player. That was nice, but you can't play football your whole life. But I'm still in football, and I'm now doing, should we say, something who's a little bit different, but still extremely great to be part of the game as a coach.
What would you classify as your greatest regret in life?
I don't have regrets. I only see opportunities, and if you do something who's not going well, then we will learn from that.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's a month since you had the national team gathered for the first time. You played Albania and Portugal. What have you done since then?
I spoke with players. I've been traveling around to watch live games. I've been clipping a lot of games behind the computer as well. So we are trying with my staff. We are following, we're watching 40 football games per week. So a lot of football games and looking and getting to know all our players in Sweden much better.
Yeah, Which players have you met and talked to?
I will not say all the names, but I met a lot of players, and I will keep on meeting players until we see next time. So I will be watching a lot of the English games, of course, live. We have Remy Reniers, my assistant, who's close in Holland, who's also close to Belgium. I think it would probably be in Germany before we gather for the press conference the 22nd to watch the last game in the Bundesliga as well. So a lot of football games. So that's nice, isn't it?
How come you don't want to tell us which players you meet?
Because I speak with a lot of players during a year. I don't think there's a reason why you should know exactly who I'm speaking to and who I'm not speaking to.
What does it give you to meet players in person?
Now, of course, you have more time to go through things with players when you meet them personally. Over a telephone is not always the best connection when you speak with players over the telephone. But I think during a season or during a year, should we say, for the summer until the next summer, we should have been around more or less to our brutal selection to have seen everybody in life.
What did you learn from the 8 days with the national team, or might be 9 days if you gathered that you had a dinner, farewell dinner after the Albania game? What was the key points that you learned from that with both practices and theory and games?
The first word, extremely intense, which gave me energy, and it will give me energy when I think back on it. A group of players who wants to play modern football, who has a very great togetherness, who have an open mindset for my ideas. What I also, after a week, or should we say 10 days, we could also see that they will of course take time when you haven't qualified for two tournaments in Qatar and now in the Europe, and of course also going from the B to C in the Nation League. Things would take time. I would probably have chosen a different opponent if I could choose that instead of Portugal as the first game, because the Portugal is won all 10 games in the qualification. Is the Manchester City of football a very good side? We got a lot of answers in those games. Albanian, I think I would like to say that for the record, Olaf Albanian, it was a great win. Keeping a clean sheet, I think everybody was pleased with a clean sheet. And we can't be arrogant and think that Albanian is a piece of cake. Not at all. Albanian won the group against Czech and Poland, and they're going to the Euro. We are not going to the Euro. So I think it was a great win. And I actually saw, I think the football, the goal we scored against Albania was a very good football goal, because we were able to keep the ball in the final third of the opponent for quite a long time, which was a long time football. And we lost it and we won it back. And Kulusevski made a great, great pass, which a good header for Gustav. So it was a good win. I also saw Kulusevski take a bit of responsibility before the game with the talk about the family feeling and togetherness and the football mindset in the dressing room. I would like to take as a group more responsibility over time. When a coach starts, you can redefine your football career a bit as a footballer, but also as a person. And we, of course, we need to take steps there.
Which players impressed?
I will not mention a lot of players who impressed. I will start. We need to see players. So I took, for example, Simon Olsen and Gustav Nilsson. They haven't really been playing for the first team before. So you need, it's good to see them play. I think they did well as well. But it's good to see more players getting a bit of opportunity. It could be on the pitch, it could be training, can also be in and around the team to see how they cope. That was why I spoke about this first phase, where I spoke about it's actually not 4 games. So when I talk about 4 games, the game against Portugal, Albania, Denmark and Serbia, no, it's actually 8 games. Also the 21 is part of it. Of course, so I've also made a very good analysis of the 2 games that the 21s is playing. So we need in this phase to see what we have, try to get a bigger amount of players, because we need competition in the dressing room as well.
Will we see a different squad when you play Denmark and Serbia now, just because you want to look around and see what what you have?
I will not change 15 players, but there could easily be some new changes. And this is, of course, because we need to see players. And you can also say, yeah, but it's national team football. You need to build relations, which we need. But we are not in that phase at the moment. We're in the phase to see the amount of players who can play on this level.
Playing against Denmark and going to Parken, but in yellow and blue, how will that be for you?
I need to be very honest. It would be very special. In my grown-up life, played 112 games for Denmark. I've been a coach Denmark, so I've been in Parken or represented my country for a long time. So there'll be strange. At the other hand, it's a football game. Two brothers playing that game, and I want to win that game. Sverige should win that game, and then I have to say sorry to Denmark. And after that game, hopefully we have won it, and then I will be the biggest fan for Denmark in the Euros.
How was it for you when Peter Møller came into the debut Danish Federation and decided that he didn't want Åge Hareide, and in that same sense that you would continue with the national team, even though you'd taken them very far in the World Cup, you'd taken them to the Euros, you hadn't lost a game for several years, and still he wanted to change national team coach. How was that?
No, everybody is, of course, allowed to have the opinion about that and also allowed to do and act from it. And it's true, we were undefeated for 3 years. And I actually decided to go to Malmö at that time. I think it was Åge who mentions me as probably becoming, could be a good idea, becoming the new national team coach after him. They wanted something else, and nothing wrong with that. I went to Malmö, and there was
but
quite nice.
But wasn't it a little bit difficult when you have these results and still they don't want to keep you?
Now, I think it was a choice, and people make choices, and it's not better or worse. It's just different, isn't it? So I decided, of course, we made a qualification for the Euros. I got the great opportunity to go to Malmö, which, of course, was a difficult to leave for Denmark, not be involved in the end tournament. But it all had a great opportunity, and an opportunity to change the playing style of winning games, which was my job description at Malmö, and I had they haven't won, of course, for a couple of years, Malmö. So it was great to be part of that journey.
When you play Serbia, Sweden will also say thank you to Zlatan Ibrahimovic. You played for at least some years when he played. What's your view of Zlatan as a player, and how important is that federations says thank you to a player like that?
Extremely important, because he's been... He's not only been in Sweden, but in Europe and in the world, he's been one of the best players. And I think we need to do it in the right way. So I think it's great. It's probably going to be a sold out Friends Arena, which is great for me and for the team. It will be a very good experience. But we need to give him a very good goodbye. And we shouldn't forget. I would also like to say to Zlatan, please bring my old club Milan back where it belongs, winning the title and doing well in Europe.
You have a long and successful career as a player. What shaped your view on football now when you're a coach?
Now, I think, first of all, to become a coach, I think I got the inspiration as a captain. I was, of course, captain from Denmark. Then you got a lot of responsibility and you thought a little bit more about the team, about direction. So I think I got the inspiration at that time. But to become a coach... I've been lucky as a player to have a lot of good coaches who's won a lot of things in Europe. Different coaches as well. So I think those coaches, for example, Ancelotti I had, gave me a lot of good inspiration to how to cope with people, how to cope with the board. Morten Olsen, Denmark, a lot of discipline, hard work, Bjarne Marwijk, how to win a football game. Beenhager, how he did with the squad, but also with the board upstairs and also with the press. So a lot of good inspiration. And of course, Johan Cruyff, when I watched the football game and the way he talked about football and the influence he had in the whole world, he has a big influence on me as well.
What would you say when you look back to your career as a player, what were the keys that you were so successful? I mean, you played in several different leagues and you also won a lot of titles.
In football, you should be able to make choices on the pitch. It's the most difficult to make a right choice. I think I was good at that. But the most important is that you have a drive, that you want something enough. I think that's extremely important. And you should also be able to give yourself feedback, because you will not be doing everything great. So you should be very critical about what you're doing. I think I had those. There was a quality I had as a football player.
How did you handle the setbacks? I mean, every career has setbacks.
Of course, and every person, and I have plenty of setbacks. I think you get more mature of it. I think you take a lot of good things for a setback. No matter what, you will learn for each situation. And I'm always thinking about solution and opportunities. So you should always take every situation you have, good or bad, with an open mindset.
How important was the national team for you?
Now, when you play for a national team, no matter which country it is, it's a gift. You should be proud of it. It's probably the ultimate passion you can get. Represent your country. You represent the whole nation. You represent your friends and family. And I've been so lucky to do it as a football player, 112 times for Denmark, and also as a coach from Denmark around me and Oke. And now I'm not from Sverige, but still it's a great honor and something you should be proud of. And I think when we look at a football player, when he's on the pitch, the fans should see that this player, he's really proud of being here. So we can create that togetherness. That's a special thing we need to create, but it's something you should be proud of the rest of your career.
When you couldn't play anymore, how come you chose to continue in football as a coach?
The easy answer, the love for the game. Because I love the football game that much, but also I wanted to see if I were good at it. When I played football, I spoke a little bit about being captain, and you take responsibility to get my inspiration to do something more in football. In the beginning, just before I stopped actually, I thought I would probably be a sport director. The way I think about the game strategically, but at trying to be an assistant, doing all the things, it gave me even more motivation, and I'm very pleased with my choice, and I'm enjoying every day, and I'm using every day to enjoy it, and I think I've been so lucky that I could be part of this journey as well.
You've been both assistant coach and head coach off and on. How is it different to be a head coach now compared to when you were assistant coach?
Now, as assistant coach, you can have all the opinions in the world, but in the end, you don't have the responsibility. That's the difference, isn't it? I have very clear mind what I want, and very concrete, no matter which position I've been working in. But of course, you, as an assistant, you don't have the final responsibility.
You don't like to talk about formations. How come?
No, let's get it right, Olaf. I'm not going to make a mystery out of it. We are playing 4-2-3-1. And of course, when you attack, it needs to be fluent. You're in different position. Defensively, it can maybe look a little bit more like a formation. But I think in modern football, players are moving in different positions. We see them each week in each team. So we should be able to be in different formations, so we in different positions, so we can control the game.
In Sweden, it's been a long tradition playing 4-4-2. At least a lot of coaches have done that. What do you think this formation can bring to the Swedish national team?
Nah, I've been very clear about it. I want to win football game, and SVFF have been very clear about, of course, we need to win football game, but we also need to implement a modern way of playing football. And winning is one thing, which we need to do, of course. It's also to create something for the eye. You need to create something back. Enjoyment, entertainment, in my point of view. People can think differently about it. But at the end of the day, I think we are put into the football world to win games, but also to create something for the eye. And that's a togetherness and passion we need to create with the Swedish fans is massive to be successful over a longer time. And they need to, of course, like the players are playing in the clubs in Europe, an attacking way of playing, a modern way of playing. So they're used to that.
When you were in Malmö, you talked a lot about principles, kind of like the rules. Which are the most important principles that you bring to the Swedish national team?
Principles is leading with every club who has an identity in whole Europe or in the at national team who has an identity. There's plenty of clubs who doesn't have it. You can't see it. They have clear principles. And one can I mention, when we lose the ball, I want to win it back quickly. When we play, I would like to play one or two touches within 1 or 2 seconds. That means you play a football, a fast game. I want to play vertical passes, play forward instead of playing the ball sideways or backwards because then it will be boring. Keeping the ball in team in the team, let's say that we are pressing forward and the opponent is kicking, then our defender should not just hit it blind away. No, they should try to keep the ball in team. That means that you head it to a colleague or you take it down on your chest. Otherwise, you will never be dominant because otherwise it's a 50-50 situation. So there's a couple of those principles.
You and the Federation talk about entertaining football, but isn't winning games enough?
Winning games is important, very important, and we need to win games. But no, of course it's not enough.
How come?
Because football is a product. Football is a product where we need to entertain as well. People are paying money for this, and they need to have something back. And over time, that's why I'm talking about I hate when we are time-wasting, killing the game, because our great football product, we are killing that in the end of the day. So that's why we need to entertain. We need to create enjoyment. If you look at our player, and I said it before, if you sit under the stands, yeah, the fans should see those players are enjoying it because then we will get the ping pong with the fans and then they will be even stronger.
You talked about needing brave players. In a way, it's kind of easy to talk about brave players. How do you make them brave?
First of all, the first rule I always say, on the ball, you can make all the mistakes in the world. No problem. Make mistakes. Because if you're not afraid of making a mistake, then automatically you will become better over time. That's also why we are clipping 40 games per week, so we can see who's able to do it and who's not able to do it. So when you have been watching over time, let's say 40 players as a staff every week and going through it, then you know, or half a year, then you know who's able to play football or not in that way.
So in 6 months, we'll know which squad you have and who you want to work with.
Now, you should of course, as I said, those four games we're playing now, plus the four is 21, they should be the games where we have a good idea about players, where we're trying to implement. And then I said in the second phase, that's the Nation League where I start, where we are implementing still the second phase. And after that time, yeah, then you will have had a long preparation, which you don't have in national team football. And then you should have a very clear idea who's able to do it.
Do you have players of enough quality to play this entertaining, modern, high-pressing football?
Yeah, I think all our players are playing in good clubs in Europe. And I'm living in the UK now. Yeah? There's several players in the UK. We have players in Spain. We have players in Italy. We have Gyökeres scoring goals for fun in Lisbon. So, yeah, of course.
But for us who follow the Sweden, the last two qualifying campaigns, we haven't really seen that.
No, but it's not a quick fix, Olaf. Not at all. And of course, I think you're very right in what you're saying. When you had missed out on two tournaments in Qatar and the Euros coming up and you went from Nation League B to C, then of course, we need time to and we need passion and patience to go forward. And it's not a quick fix. We will manage that over a month or two. No, of course not. We know that. Things take time. But we need to see small steps every time.
In a way, you can look at the way Sweden has changed. We used to have a lot of defenders, world-class defenders. Maybe not that many offensive players. Now it's the other way around. How do you solve that with few defenders of real quality?
Now, the question is, of course, I always say we attack and defend with the whole squad. And then we're talking about a defender. Sometimes a defender can look a little bit bad because the attacker are losing the ball at the wrong moment. But that's why we need to have a very good 5-second rule to win it back, because then we are helping the defenders as well. So that's extremely important that we have players who put a lot of energy in when we are losing the ball. Because if we lose the ball on the wrong spots, every defender in the whole world can look bad, even if it's the best defender.
How will you see to it that the team has enough energy to keep winning the ball back and this high pressing?
Now, if you play against Azerbaijan, I think, and Estonia, I think Sweden has some memories of Azerbaijan, maybe not the best memories as well.
Baku, November, not a good memory for Swedish national team.
No. But if you're playing, you're playing against two teams, first of all, who will sit back on their own half. So then it's important that we are able to play in small area with quick play and be able to win it back without giving the ball away in different and stupid circumstances. If you do that, yeah, then you will make it difficult for yourself. So it's about making those choices in those moments to have the players in the right spots. Then you don't need to press too much because then you're playing on the half of the opponent.
But the hope of the Swedish Federation is not only that Sweden will beat Azerbaijan and Estonia, it's that you will play better teams and be successful and hopefully go to the US and Mexico and Canada in 2026. How will you then handle when you play better teams, the high pressing and...
That when we are playing other teams, it can be that we are sitting back at some period as well. Huh? It's depending on the... Now, at the moment, we have had two friendlies. Now we have two more friendlies where we are learning. Where we are learning and we are implementing, then we need answer. If you're playing out in Portugal, yeah, of course you can sit back and around your own box. But are we going to get any answer? No, then we're not preparing. Then we're just doing stupid things, in my point of view.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Isakrama had a back from a defender. He's in. Isak's beaten it one and then taken it around Fotheringham and put it into the back of the net. And Isak, with his third of the season, just made it look so easy.
Det känns bra, särskilt när jag kommer rätt vänt i kontringsspelet. När jag kan få upp fart och komma hem mot den så trivs jag väldigt bra. Ja, lite annorlunda i försvarsspelet, många meter hem. Men ja, det är sånt som kommer i vissa roller.
Alexander Isak is having a magnificent season in Newcastle, scoring a lot of goals, but he's had a harder time for the national team. How will you change that? Is he in the wrong position? He felt like he moved around a little bit in the last two games.
First of all, he's a great player and a very good boy. So when I spoke with Isak, I asked him also about, okay, where do we want to play? What is your thoughts about it? He said, I would just help the team. I know we have Gugas who can play as a number nine. He said, yeah, doesn't matter. I just want to be part of it. So imagine that, a world-class star who have that mentality and a really team player. I think it's great, first of all. Second of all, if last time or just after our games, he was really disappointed that he didn't score because I think he could have scored a lot of goals in those two games we just played. But he's a goal scorer, and you see that every week in Newcastle. So, and a player, not only the only player who can score goals, but a player which I really like being the team, and also a player where I would like to see him take more responsibility.
You've had key players like Dejan Kulusevski not playing that much in Spurs. You have Victor Nilsson Lindelöf, some injuries. How does that affect you?
No, you can't. You have injured players sometimes. Huh? That's part of life. It's something we need to deal with. And we need, hopefully they're not injured on the wrong time. Kulusevski, he's been a little bit out, but then he played from the start here in the weekend, and he did well. Should have had a penalties as well, I think, against Arsenal. So he did well. So yeah, in a top club, in Manchester or Tottenham, we can't have guaranteed that a player playing each game. But I think he already played a lot of games this season.
Why is Victor Nilsson Lindelöf the right person to be the captain?
I think he takes a lot of responsibility. I think it's been really great to see the responsibility he's been taking for the group. But we also need more captains, should we say, captain's roles. And what I mean with that is, for example, the way that Kulusevski, he took the responsibility before the Albanian game in the dressing room with his talk about the family feeling, also about the football things. We need more players who does that. And I will try to create and get a little bit more of those players, because a player can be injured. So we need more help, and we need to help each other. So that's something we need to work on as a group.
Jan Andersson, he had Victor Nilsson as a captain. He had two vice captains, Emil Forsberg, Albin Ekdal. Albin Ekdal has retired. Have you decided how you're going to do with like a player council and vice captains? And in that case, who are the vice captains?
No, we would divide the responsibility over more players. And those types need to develop over the next period as well. So that's something. So one of the tasks, for example, I gave Kulusevski before the Albanian game, of course, there was with a purpose. And I will keep on doing different things like that over the next period, so we can get, a responsibility divided over the group. I think Victor is doing a great job, but we need to divide it. We all know that we have players in and around the group who have taken a lot of responsibility. Like Robin, like Forsberg, who's been around for a lot of years. So we need them to take responsibility, but we also need new players to take responsibility.
Do you have any news regarding Filip Jørgensen, Magnus Mattsson, a couple of players who have Danish and Swedish nationalities?
No, I think it's very clear. There's nothing to do with our goalkeeper, Virel. He will be playing for Denmark. And in Copenhagen, he said that he wants to play for Denmark. But we should always keep an eye on everything. And of course, I know that the Federation is doing that.
The under-21 national team, they didn't really impress against North Macedonia, even though they won. How did that affect the chances of the players that were there, like Nanasi, Badaji?
I was really pleased that they won the game. But we all know that, of course, that some of the players could have performed better. And when you get opportunities, about grabbing that opportunity. At the same time, of course, playing one game should decide everything. You could see that, for example, Sebastian Nanasi played really well here yesterday against AEK. So those players would, of course, be well analyzed when they're playing for the home team, for their own team, but also for the 21s. And when you get the opportunity, I think it's about grabbing that chance. That's why I said Olaf, does matter it was the first time, the first team last time, or the 21. Those games have been analyzed in the same way.
You worked with Nanasi in Malmö. Is it good to have been in Malmö under your command, if you want to look at the national team?
I don't know if it's been good, but it's been great working with Sebastian.
Yeah, but is it something that's good for him when you will look at the players that you had in Malmö? I know him; he's a good guy.
First of all, I look at the football, and Sebastian, of course, he's one of the best players in the league. He's performing very well. He did that last season. I think he is becoming even a little bit better now. So this, of course, a player we look after very carefully. And if you look back on the history of Sebastian, of course I know him well, because I were in the club. I was the guy who put him into the team, who actually took him for the youth to the team, and also the guy who wanted him to make a contract, arrange a contract for him. So yeah, that's of course a player we would like to see more from. And I'm sure if he keep on develop like he is now, then we will also see him playing minutes in the first team.
How important is it for the under 21 team and the senior national team to play in the same way?
Over time, I think it's important because we want to create, that's what the SBFF have said to me, we want to implement a modern attacking way of playing. Then, of course, the 21 should be playing more or less in the same way as the first team, which is normal.
During Jan Andersson's last year, there was a longing for kind of new, young talents, and a lot of people thought that he was kind of cautious when he didn't select them. How will you do with young and bright talents?
First of all, I think we should have a lot of respect for what he's done. I think he's done a lot of good things for Sverige, good results as well. I always say I like to see young players, but we shouldn't change just because we want to change. No, players should be ready. And that's why we are following each player very well and very carefully. Then we have a better idea when they're ready and not. And at the end of the day, the players decide. It's always like that. When you get an opportunity, then you need to perform. And if you're not performing, then of course, then you can't be involved.
You have a list of players that you follow. Is it 40 players? Has it become longer after you've started following the national team? Have you discovered players that, wow, he looks interesting?
No, of course. We all know that in Greece, we have a winger who's doing really well at the moment.
Niklas Eliasson.
Yeah, he's doing really well. We watched the last two games with him for sure as well, and he's performing well. So every player with a Swedish passport, we are following them. And of course, it's of course always a dynamic list. A list would change because players will perform differently over a year. But at the end of the day, it's up to the us as a staff to make the right puzzle.
Do you think the Nations League with six games is enough to create the winning team to kind of change the tide around the Swedish national team?
It's a great chance, and it's a great opportunity, and of course also a challenge. But I'm a very positive man, so I would take the challenge and we will go for it. But can we promise that we will win the Nations League? Of course we can't promise that, but can we promise that you will see a team who's fighting and who's trying to implement the style? Yes, you will see that.
The draw for the World Cup qualifying will be after Nations League. How important are the results in the Nations League, both winning the group but also ranking-wise? Do you know the mathematics around it?
Now, of course, first of all, to win the Nations League, you will promote. There's one, but you will also be able to play a qualification game for the World Cup in March 2026. And the end of the day, points is always important to get the best draw. And when you're playing or when you're getting a draw, when you try to qualificate for the World Cup, you need luck. Because there's only number one is 100% sure to go through. The rest will be playing for playoffs. And that's not always easy because then you need the luck of getting a right opponent, that you have the right players fit. So qualify for a World Cup is difficult.
Do you prefer a group of four or five teams? Because it will be both opportunities.
Depend of the teams who's in it.
But isn't it easier with a four-group team?
Nah, you can also turn it around and say, yeah, if a group is a five, then you have the opportunity to develop your play even more.
What do you think of Sweden's chances of reaching the World Cup 2026?
I think it's very far away to talk about that at the moment. First of all, this is not a quick fix. There's a reason why Sweden haven't qualified for Qatar and the Euros now and went from B to C. So we need to change that momentum. And it starts, of course, in September with the Nations League, where we will love and where we try to win the Nations League so we can promote, but also at the same time to implement a more attacking modern way of playing football. And after that, then we can talk how far we have been arriving. But at the moment, there's no quick fixes. Hard work.
Sebastian Larsson said he wants to continue in the national team. Do you want him to continue? Have you decided yet?
I'm very pleased with the way we worked together in the last window. First of all, his football knowledge and the person was great. I think we had a good connection. I think he did really well off the field, but also on the field. So I said to Federation, try to make a deal with Sebastian.
What else will happen with the staff? We saw that Liam Holt was in Portugal, who you work with at Blackburn. Will there be more changes in the staff?
Yeah, we were also trying to get Liam in on a longer deal as well. So I also told the Federation that. So they're working on those two topic, and in the end of the day, then we were analyze and we were try to optimize the staff the whole time. But I think last winter was very good. I think the staff worked well together.
Will you keep the goalkeeper coach Mats Elvendal, who had quite a front position with Jan Andersson?
Yeah, I think Mats did really well, and he's of course also looking after the goalies now. Had a role with set pieces in the last winter, and it's funny when you start something new, there of course always question about is he good enough? Are there the right mix or whatever? In the end of the day, you need to work together before you know it.
When I spoke to my former colleague, who's also a former coach, Hasse Backe, he said he would have cleaned out the whole staff. Why didn't you do that to start with your own staff?
No, if suddenly, let's say that we have Sebastian as a new one, we have Remy, we have me, we have Ben Rosen, we have Liam Holt as player, people I know really well. And of course, with Christopher around the team and Mats, they're very good people and hardworking people. So, yeah, you can of course take a clear cut. But if people are working hard and they're very good, why should you do that?
What does Remy, your assistant who you had in Malmö and also in Blackburn, what does he bring to your team and to your staff?
He has a good football head. He knows me very well. Remy is extremely critical, which is something I really like. I don't like people who only say yes, yes, yes around me. And I like people who has take responsibility and critical and make me think about things. And then it's me as a head coach to take the filter and be able to cope with it.
Did you talk to Jan Andersson or did you skip that?
I haven't talked with Jan yet. Hopefully we can take a coffee at the Federation once.
I spoke to Hasse Backe since he was a Swede being a coach in Finland. He said afterwards that it might have been a mistake not to live in Finland to get to know the people. How have you reasoned now you live in England with your family?
Now I saw that of course with Morten Olsen living in Brussels when he was a Danish coach for the Danish national team. Åge Hareide, who lived half of the time in Denmark and half of the time in Norway. I don't think it's necessary to live in the country because most of the players is playing anyway in Europe. So, of course, if all the players were playing in Sweden, I understand that. At the same time, of course, we need to see all the Swedish games as well and make connection. That's the difference. I think if you're living in a country, there can also be a lot of stress because everybody wants to talk football with you the whole time. I love the game, but if you talk football, 300 days a year, there will be can also be a tough cookie.
When I spoke to the Federation, they said they were knowledgeable about the tax breaks that were when you live abroad, they pay less tax. How much is that a factor when you chose to stay abroad?
Zero idea about it. There's no regarding charges.
You have a really short contract if you look in the way that the federations work before. They always sign the coaches over two cycles. How much was that a factor for you, or was it the federation that wanted the short contract?
But I think it suited both parties, to be honest. I think it's a perfect length, first of all, to have the Nation League, to have the qualification for the World Cup. The way of working, I think, is a perfect link. I was pleased with it, and the Federation is pleased with it. So, two pleased parties, actually.
But is it because if you do really well, then you're kind of open for the market in 2 years' time?
If you look at that, I think if you do really well, you're always open for the market, aren't you? But at the moment, I'm only talking, I think, about 24 hours a day.
in a way, when you talk to coaches, some people say that you need to look at the, you need time. Time is to work. This seems to be really short time to, I mean, it could be over in a little bit more than a year.
Yeah, but you can also look, turn it around and say, okay, this is a great opportunity to prepare well. Time you never get in football, national team football, actually. And I mean, prepare well is that we have had four friendlies with, of course, pressure, because it's four good teams who are all qualified for Europe. Then afterwards, then you have the Nation League where we would like to win it, but where we have the opportunity to implement an attacking way of playing football, a modern way, and then the World Cup starts afterwards. That's time, actually, you don't get in football normally.
You decided to speak English with the Swedish press, and I guess that you don't read Swedish newspapers because there's been kind of like a debate. Some people think it's bad, some people think it's great because it's impossible to understand Danish. How did you reason when you decided that?
I think that actually for respect for people, I think the most important thing that I want to be understood and want to understand, the things around me. I think there's more respect for each other. That's actually the answer.
when you started the first press conference, at least some of us felt that you were on a charm offensive. Did you think that the way you wanted to start as a coach and to handle the press?
No, not a charm offensive, just being myself. So I think it's very important to talk football with the press. I like to talk football with the press. If you come to England, I loved it every week, and there was a lot of times every week. So no, not at all.
You have a person in Denmark, Lars Handel. I think he's in Denmark. He checks things that are written and said. How come you work with him?
No, first of all, I work with SVF, Petra, of course. She checks everything, but it's, of course, I have a good relation, and he knows how I'm thinking about things. So sometimes it goes a little bit quicker with everything.
You've been in football for a long time. How come it often ends in kind of tense standoffs between the media and the teams, players and coaches? I mean, even though you didn't write the sign, it's a famous when Denmark beat Portugal away and you didn't want to talk to the press because you said you weren't respected. And I can give you some examples from Sweden. It very often ends like that. How come?
Maybe the stress of the game, maybe. I think it's extremely important to have a good relationship with the press. You guys are doing a hard work. We, as a coaches or a team, are doing a hard work, and we need each other. So I think we should always have a respect for each other in that way. And I think the football game is, of course, a game out of opinion. Sometimes that can be difficult to cope with, but it's part of life, huh?
In a way, as a coach, sometimes it might be easy to make some populist choices. You go for the player that everyone screams for. How will you handle that, the pressure? You should select this player.
No, very easy. I select the players I think is the right.
When you were in TV4 and also SVT, you didn't want to make a choice between Danish and Swedish food. How come?
Oh, you've been watching the telly as well.
I do my job.
Oh, very good, Olaf, very good. Because I think there's no reason to make a choice.
But it feels a little bit anxious that you don't want to upset anyone.
No, I think it's natural. I think you probably have done the same if you sat in my situation.
I would have chosen, but that's I didn't get the question.
Maybe next time.
Yeah, I mean, I followed you in Malmö and I talked to a lot of people in Malmö. You can be quite tough and demanding. What's your view of yourself?
Very modern leader, knows what he wants, and wants the best for the team and for the federation and the club and for the fans.
Of course, you remember Rasmus Bengtsson and that situation, and he felt that he didn't get the decision. He pronounced it in some different words that probably reached you. How do you look back at that situation with when you get in situation with players that you need to? I don't want to. You to be a part of the team. I mean, it's choices that can be tough, both for a player and for a coach.
Now, in general, when you make a choice, you actually, as a coach, you don't want to upset people. But on the other hand, as a coach, you need to upset. As a human being, you don't want to upset people. But as a coach, you actually need to upset people because you're making a choice which you think is the best solution and the best choice for the team.
When you meet people in both in Denmark and in the Netherlands, where you spent many years, they can be quite tough negotiators, I would say. How much has the Netherlands shaped you as a person and as a leader?
I think I would say that I have the Danish heart, but actually I haven't lived in Denmark for last 28 years. So I'm more European actually because I had the luck that I lived in a lot of countries. So I think as a grown up, Europe has formed me as a person, but also still the personality which I have. I know what I want, and I'm very clear and very concrete about it and very loyal. So I think instead of saying Dutch, I would say more Europe.
Being taking tough decisions. Do you think the players of today can take it because it's very much about themselves?
Yeah, I think so. If you're very open, if you can give good reasons, if you have a good communication with players, I think they will respect you. They will maybe not like it, but that's part of the game, isn't it? You don't want to upset people, but that's my function as a coach. Then you need to make sometimes tough decision, but what I experienced is if you have an open and a clear communication with players, then they will respect you in the end, no matter what.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Being a national team coach puts you in the spotlight for a lot of our questions. We've had the last years a lot of discussions, not at least in Denmark with Qatar and the World Cup and Saudi Arabia putting a lot of money in. What's your view of those nations and sports washing?
I think if you look at all over the world, I think all the years there have always been political reason or decision. It's not only been in this future, there's also been before, I think. I think the Federation has a very important saying what they think about different situations. But as a coach, I'm actually here to let the team play football. And my personal view of a thing is not that important. We need to play football. I think that's the most important thing, no matter what. Football needs to be played. Then we still have a lot of responsibility as a Federation to do the right thing and try to that people do the right thing. But that's more a question for should we say, the Federation than me.
I mean, Sweden went for training and camp in Qatar and played some friendlies there. That's one thing. Other thing is to go there for a World Cup. Do you think Sweden should go to these regions and play friendlies?
Should always be played football. Yeah, World Cup should always be played no matter where it is.
Yeah, but friendlies. Do you think they should go on a with a training camp to Qatar?
If it's the right choice for the federation to do it, then they need to do it. But you can make better decisions as well.
If you got an offer to be coach in Saudi Arabia, would you say yes?
Oh, I never had it, so I never had that opportunity to think about it.
But if you got one?
No, at the moment, I'm talking about and thinking about Sverige 24/7.
Henrik Larsson, as you probably know as a player, he said a month ago in Guardian that there was way too much money in football. What's your view?
Football is a crazy money world. It is. But it's, of course, not the only sport. There's also high demands. If you look at the sports also in America, yeah. There's also plenty of money and also way too much, in my opinion.
I guess you've followed a little bit, or at least Petra has briefed you. There's been a lot of discussion regarding football agents in Sweden and their influence and possible connections to the world of criminals. What's your view of this world?
I think in every world, each world, you have good and you have bad. Now you're talking about agents, aren't you? You have good and bad. Like you have bad and good school teachers. But first of all, of course, as a player, as a coach and as a federation, we need to think about the young kids. I think that's important. Depending on how we are coping with things, what we are doing, we need to think about, is that the right things to do? In the end of the day, if you talk about the things in case which are in Swedish media, I also think it's very important that our player has opinion about things. It's a free country, so we can express ourselves. And our player for the national team, they're doing really well. So last time, for example, the social things that they did on a day off, that was good. The things they did for the sponsor, it was very good. It has responsibilities.
Yeah, because a lot of the players of Hassan Setink, I supported him in social media after Expressen and Football Stockholm wrote about, they thought there were connections to gang criminals. The players were criticized. What's your view of that, that all the players went out and supported him?
It's a free world, so we should be able to express our feelings and what we think about a situation.
That a lot of players in the national team have one agent. Is that a problem for you as a coach?
I haven't seen that problem. I haven't felt the problem, not at all.
Who is your agent?
It's a Dutch agent.
But you have an agent.
I have an agent, Dutch agent.
In Sweden, a lot of people are worried that the Swedish football is losing its position. Denmark is better, both national team and the clubs. What are the Swedish football people doing wrong?
I can only think about when I was in Malmö. I think we did very well in Europe. We almost won against Granada. It was a difficult game. We would qualify for Champions League. And hopefully, there will be more teams who does really well in Europe, because then you will generate more income as well for the teams.
What do you think Swedish clubs need to do to become even better in developing talents?
I'm actually, when I'm watching Allsvenskan, I enjoy watching games. I think it's a great product. I think there's a lot of fans in the stands each week as well, which is pleasing. But of course, when you go to Europe, you need to make points. So I think that's important, because if you make points and if you sell players, then the league will become stronger over time. I can't say one special thing that they need. I think they're working hard on it themselves.
In Denmark, they don't have the 50+1% rule. Should Sweden abolish it to be able to?
It's a little bit like Germany, isn't it? Yeah, that's why everybody in Germany hates Red Bull Leipzig. Of course, no. I think I've been in Malmö, and the way the handle and how professional the club is was amazing. And that was great. So that's my answer to that.
They shouldn't abolish it.
No. My answer is that they did really well, Malmö, the way they're acting about it.
Another discussion is VAR. Sweden is holding out. What's your view?
Now, I know the view from the fans in Sweden, of course. I think we sometimes need to help the referee. I think the referee have a very, very difficult task, because the game is getting quicker and quicker. also when you're playing on artificial as well, does the game even quicker. But we also need to respect the fans as well, because they're football is played for the fans, and they have a very important saying in this matter as well.
You were coaching the Championship. They didn't have a VAR, but they had him in the Premier League. If you got to choose, what would you prefer?
I actually think there will be VAR in the Championship next season.
Okay.
I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but I think so.
Do you think they should have it in the Swedish league, in Allsvenskan?
I think over time it will automatically come.
Even though the supporters don't want it?
Yeah, over time, I think so. I think there won't be one time where the UEFA was saying that you need it. I think that will come over time, yeah.
If you look at the artificial pitches, how has that changed football here in the Nordic region, where we, at least in Sweden, Sweden and Norway, we have a lot of artificial pitches?
There's, of course, also the weather. We shouldn't forget that. The weather has a big impact, the climate. Which we can't control, but of course, when you have it's a little bit of a different game. You play more on the feet. There'll be less duels as well, because you can't get into duels. So there's a little bit the difference of the game.
Do you think that has shaped the way Sweden and Norway maybe not have as many defenders anymore, but have a more technical players? We have Ødegaard, Haaland, and more offensive players.
I think it's extremely difficult to say if that's the reason. Extremely difficult. I can't say it if that's the reason or not. That would be a very poor answer for me, because I don't know enough about it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Podden är producerad av Jakob Nalerius och klippt av Daniel Eriksson, och vi tar tacksamt emot alla synpunkter, tankar, idéer, önskemål, ja, vad det än må vara. Enklast är att mejla mig olof.lund@tv4.se eller skriva till mig på X eller Instagram, och det gäller Olof Lund i ett ord. Stort tack för den här veckan.